Welcome to Football Never Sleeps. Inching towards being viral, way over caffeinated. We're your weekly YouTube show all about Notre Dame football and a fan base, Notre Dame fan base that doesn't have to plan a pity party anymore for its portal. I'm Eric Hansen in South Bend and ready to party like it's 1988. He's Tyler James in LaPorte, Indiana, and wondering what the hell I'm jabbering about a year before it's even born. Together, we are the Word Salad Avoiding Content Creators at BlueGold.com, along with some other really nice folks. On tonight's show, we're going to dive into the portal and tell you about Notre Dame's four signings so far. We expect there to be more. This is the first day also spring semester classes. We're also going to tell you about some illegal brush with Marcus Freeman, where he got exonerated in a big nothing burger. And your questions, of course, to start filling up that portal. This is Never Sleeps.
All right. Well, way to go, Eric. Thanks for not getting thrown off by being on the opposite side of the screen as we normally are.
I was thrown off.
We appreciate everyone. Bear with us. We made a little switch that we still had to figure out how to totally handle the changes and what we needed to change. And so this is our first run. So if we're a little off on certain things, that's why. But we'll get those ironed out here pretty quickly.
Step up from the oh crap moment I had with Bob Morton.
And we appreciate you guys. Bear with us, tuning in. Everyone who's here, who's live. Big crowd already. We already got 100 people in here. So we appreciate everyone stopping by. Jeff, Rajon, Bosey, Donald, thank you all for chiming in the chat. We appreciate you. Whether you're watching us live or on replay, make sure that you subscribe to our channel here. Hit the like button as well and send us some comments if you'd like. We'll take comments throughout the show and answer some questions. BlueAndGold.com continues to drive a lot of subscribers our way. It's been a really cool time to see how many people are enjoying what we're doing over at blueandgold.com. And you can still join us if you have not yet with a 50% off offer for an annual subscription. New subscribers can sign up for the first year of an annual subscription for just $59.99. You can use the link in our video description or head over to blueandgold.com and hit the join button. Smash the join button. And come up with a very creative username. If you chime in when I see, I spend way too much time on the message board, and I note new usernames on there, and I always enjoy the ones that stand out. So if you got chime in over there, and we'll greet you, and try not to take too much grief from all the old guys that like to haze the newbies. But it has been a very busy day on the transfer portal front. It's sort of portal payoff time is what I have been deeming it. Notre Dame signed four of its transfer portal targets on Monday, marking the first portal additions of the offseason for the Irish. Alabama defensive end Keon Keeley, Ohio State wide receiver Quincy Porter, Colorado cornerback DJ McKinney, and Michigan cornerback Jaden Sanders. Let's break down all of those guys, Eric, and start with former Notre Dame recruit Keon Keeley. That's probably the name that everyone's the most familiar with, who spent more than a year committed to Notre Dame's 2023 class while he was in high school down in Tampa, Florida. How important of an addition do you think Keeley is?
Well, I like the addition. I think it was important to get another edge guy with Josh Burnham transferring to Indiana. And Keeley has such an interesting background and has such an interesting ceiling. I still think that five-star player is inside of him. I don't know if it'll come out at Notre Dame, but I think we finally saw him moving in that direction. And so I think this was a really smart pickup for Notre Dame. I would have pushed my chips in and bet on Keon Keeley. How about you? Why do you like the move or not like it? I don't want to predict.
No, I do like it. I think right now it's a bigger headline than it is an addition, right? Like there's a lot more production that needs to come with it to sort of match the hype of, oh yeah, this is Keon Keeley. He hasn't been as productive in his first three seasons at Alabama as you would have expected for a former five-star recruit. But Notre Dame needed another defensive end after Joshua Burnham hit the transfer portal. I think he can be in the mix at either of the end spots, but I think it's more likely that he plays and rotates with Bryce Young on the same side. He was 6'5", 242 as a freshman at Alabama and gained weight. He was up to 282 this past season. After his true freshman season, he moved to defensive end from an outside linebacker role. And so that's what he's been doing at Alabama. But I think we have to sort of set the proper expectations for Keeley, because especially if you're a Notre Dame fan and you don't really watch Alabama football much or only look at his stat line, you aren't really sure what to expect. So what do you think is the proper expectation for what Keeley can do for Notre Dame either this season or the next, because he does have two seasons of eligibility left?
Yeah, I would say my expectations would be maybe what you got out of Bryce Young last year, a guy that wasn't, you know, a highlight reel, but was really solid, gave you some good rotational snaps, and you got enough of the shine to say the best is yet to come. I think that's reasonable to expect from Keon Keeley. If he doesn't deliver it, you have some other options. But again, I just think this is a risk worth taking. Because Notre Dame will have vetted him. If there was an attitude problem, if there were other problems that they didn't think he could overcome at Notre Dame, they wouldn't have taken them. They don't need the headline. They need somebody that can be productive. Because the difference in some of these portal guys aren't whether Notre Dame gets into the playoff next year, and I do think that they will without us holding our breath, it's how far Notre Dame goes in the playoff next year. And players like that, we saw that in the 2024 run. There was that space in the Georgia game where it felt like every transfer portal guy was making contributions in that game. And so there's going to be a moment where somebody like that, you know, even R.J. Oben was one of them. R.J. Oben hadn't done a whole lot that season.
Yeah.
And had sack in that game with, I believe he knocked the ball loose as well. So that would be my expectation for Keon.
Yeah, I think if you look at the last two defensive ends Notre Dame took out of the transfer portal with Oben, and then the year before with Javonte Jean-Baptiste, if Keon Keeley fits somewhere between those two guys, I think that was worth the risk, especially in his first year. Like it's not a all or nothing season for him. He doesn't have to come in and be a starter necessarily. I know some people are in a hurry to move Bryce Young to defensive tackle because defensive tackle is a need, but I think defensive end's a need too. And I'm not necessarily sure that's what's best for Bryce Young yet. So I don't think this move means, well, now Bryce Young's a defensive tackle. I think Keon Keeley is going to have to beat out Bryce Young to play ahead of him. And I think there's a good chance that maybe that doesn't happen right away. I think they will probably split a lot of time together. You alluded to him sort of coming out at the end of the season. He had 16 tackles and 3 sacks this past season. Half of those, both tackles and sacks, came in the last 3 games of the season for Alabama. So that tells you sort of how little he was doing for most of the season and how much he did in those last 3 games. And those are important games for Alabama, right? Because we were talking about the SEC championship game, the first round playoff game, and the loss.
The big game against Auburn, the big win over Auburn that got him a spot up in the playoff.
Well, no, it wouldn't.
Laughing. I'm making fun of the committee, not making fun of Keon. I'm making fun of the committee. Yeah, it was an important game for them. They lose that game, they might have moved up 2 spots, but no.
Well, that wasn't one of their last 3 games because they played in the SEC championship game and then 2 playoff games.
Oh, that's right. Okay, well, the last 4 games then. So then he was a non-factor. If he had performed, they would have moved up 3 spots in the standings. But no, on a serious note, the one thing that makes me feel really good about this is Trey Reeder still being at Notre Dame. The Reeder family was super close to Keeley through high school down in Florida, and they're like brothers. And I think it's going to bring a comfort level for Keon. And Troy Reader is also on campus as a baseball player. And I believe Troy and Keon are in the same class. Trey was a class ahead of them. But I think, and Trey has had such a positive impact. I know he's works with the linebackers, but I mean, working with the defense, I think this is going to be a really good kind of, I don't want to say buffer, but it's just a nice familiarity for Keon.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm interested to see how it pans out. And if it's sort of a feel-good story now, but I think it'll be even more of a feel-good story if he gets back on track and gets closer toward that potential that he had as a five-star recruit coming out of Berkeley Prep in Tampa, Florida. All right, speaking of five-star recruits, Notre Dame also signed wide receiver Quincy Porter out of Ohio State. He was a five-star recruit in the 2025 class. And so just played in four games as a freshman at Ohio State this past season under the transfer portal and has signed with the Irish. How important of an addition is Porter, Eric?
Well, boundary receiver was the number one to Notre Dame, the number one priority on offense for them. And they went out and got a guy with really high pedigree and multiple years of eligibility remaining. I talked to longtime recruiting analyst Tom Lemming about Quincy Porter today, and Tom was stunned that Notre Dame was able to pull him in. And these are the two statements he made. And I don't think Tom is normally moved to hyperbole because he has a long-standing reputation he has to kind of live with. But these are the two things he said: better than Malachi Fields, not in this moment, but he will be, is what he's predicting. And he also thinks that this is the, other than a quarterback, this is the most important portal get that Notre Dame has had. So that's quite a statement. For me, there's a safety net there too, in that you have some guys that are a year ahead of him that have good pedigree, and Micah Gilbert and especially Cam Williams. Micah has more production. Cam has really good upside, I believe, that we'll start to see this year. And then some younger players. We have Devin Fitzgerald coming in the door that's a boundary receiver. Jerome Bettis Jr. is there. But I love the position. It's just interesting. I thought Notre Dame would get a one-and-done guy. I guess in this day and age, everybody could be one-and-done. But they went out and got somebody with multiple years of eligibility. I really like this move.
Yeah, if you have not yet, I would encourage you, not you, Eric, specifically, but you included, but you in our audience, to check out Quincy Porter's highlights if you have not yet. There's not a lot of highlights from his time at Ohio State. He only had four catches for 59 yards. But if you
and they had a boundary receiver named Jeremiah Smith on their team.
Right, yeah. Yeah, their two outside receivers were Biletnikoff Award semifinalists, so two of the top 13 wide receivers in the country. So it's not you do not become a non-talented player because you were behind those guys. But, yeah, he's 6'4", 210, long strides, can make plays after the catch, can run by guys in the secondary. I'm not sure. I think I could probably say this pretty confidently. I've covered Notre Dame since 2012, 2011 a little bit too. I don't think Notre Dame has signed a wide receiver recruit that is better than him. He's better than any of the wide receiver recruits Notre Dame signed at that time. Now there's not a lot of five-star guys on that list that he would be in competition with, but he has a lot of potential. And so I'm very interested to see how Notre Dame develops him and gets him ready to play after not playing a lot this past season, and put him in a potential starting role. I don't think Notre Dame would have recruited him if they didn't think he could start. And I don't think he would be coming to Notre Dame if he didn't think he could start. So I think one thing that we're trying to get more information on is that he apparently had some sort of knee injury that he's dealing with. I don't think it's anything that should impact him going into next season, as far as we understand. But we're continuing to look into that, but a very promising young wide receiver that Notre Dame and CJ Carr specifically as Notre Dame's quarterback should really enjoy, especially this coming season. And he's got four seasons of eligibility left. He because he played in only four games that qualified him for a redshirt. Do you think there's any risk for Notre Dame in terms of adding a young receiver for their boundary role need rather than someone that has production like a Bo Collins or a Malachi Fields?
You know, you mean as far as like running off other guys in future years?
Yeah. Or
discouraging.
Yeah. Or is he not ready? And then you have to rely on someone else too. I mean, it could be anything. It could be whatever risk you associate with that.
Yeah. I think the risk was worth it. Let's put it that way. Especially if his health is going to be good in the fall, you know, if it was something where you didn't know the timeline and that it could drag into the fall, then maybe that's a big risk. But I think there's a lot of things converging. I think Micah Gilbert, if he's healthy, he's ready to surge. I think Cam Williams finally has some things put together in terms of how he wants to plot out his ascent. And I think we're going to start to see that in the spring. And he could pop up on either side. He's not bound to be a boundary receiver. If Notre Dame, there's another receiver that Notre Dame is looking at, if they sign him, I think he could play either side as well. That gives you another talented receiver. And I think you have enough veteran leadership with Jordan Faison and Jaden Greathouse. Now, neither of them play the boundary, but I feel good about this. I like the fact that there can be some continuity. And so I do think, but it surprised me. A lot of this surprises me, Tyler, in terms of the players that they're signing, because these are not what we're used to Notre Dame getting. Right. These players with multiple years of eligibility, especially with 4 years of eligibility remaining. But some of these, you know, that they're still hoping to sign are guys that, you know, have already played 2 years in college. That's kind of the sweet spot for a hard no in the past from admissions. And to be able to consider those kind of players is really a shift. And we'll talk about that on another Football Never Sleeps, but I really want to get more into the players
tonight. Yeah, it does feel like they've prioritized a little bit, and maybe just a result of who was available to Notre Dame and they can make work to get here, sort of potential overproduction. Like they're not as worried about what a guy has done at his previous school in terms of production, or if he's how experienced he is. If they see the talent and potential in a guy, they have made strong moves for those guys. And Quincy Porter certainly fills that. I think Keon Keeley does too. And we'll talk next about a couple of cornerbacks that Notre Dame added in DJ McKinney and Jaden Sanders. I figured I would group them together because I think some of the interesting questions about them sort of apply.
Well, I wrote a story about them together, so that worked perfectly for me.
Yeah. So McKinney, he's entering his final season of eligibility with Notre Dame after stops at Oklahoma State and Colorado. And then Sanders will be entering his sophomore season after playing as a freshman at Michigan last season. How good do you think McKinney is? How good do you think Sanders is? Pick which one you want to start talking about first.
Let's talk about McKinney first, because I think he is in a better position to help right out of the gate. I think that's why they went and got him. He was a preseason All Big 12 guy. He wasn't a postseason All Big 12 guy. And I think part of that had to do with he missed three games towards the end of the season with an injury. But he is a guy that could play either of those outside positions, field or boundary. And I don't think he's going to play nickel for Notre Dame. Notre Dame needed quantity at that position. And in these two guys both got quantity and quality. If you think about it, and a lot of these guys were nickels that left, but you had Ben Minnick, Carson Hobbs, who played nickel and corner, Devontae Smith graduated, then you had, or ran out of eligibility, he had already graduated, and then Chance Tucker transferred, a backup corner, and Cree Thomas. So you had some bodies to replace, But I think McKinney, and just talking to people, he sounds like a guy that's good enough to start if you had somebody go down, or if you played with the alignment, your alignment of corners, let's say like Notre Dame did against USC, where Leonard Moore was covering an elite slot player. He could start for you in a game like that. So I like him a lot. As far as Sanders, you know, I think he kind of fills the Cree Thomas role. He's a guy that was a backup for Michigan, and yet he played about the same number of snaps as Mark Zachary and Dallas Golden. I mean, almost exactly the same number. They're all around the low 300s. The two kids that I mentioned that will be sophomores, Zachary and Golden, were three-time starters for Notre Dame. I think Sanders started one game. Has a lot of length, and he has some position flexibility. He could be a safety for you if you needed to. 6'2 kid. Both of them are very physical. They will not only cover well, and McKinney's really good in man, they will also hit you in the run game. So those are some things that I like about the two of them. I think the big question that's coming, Tyler, that you're going to say is, what are they going to do about nickel? But I'll leave that for when you get to it.
No, I think let's get to it, because I still am learning more about McKinney and Sanders, and I'm not sure that I fully see the vision in terms of what Notre Dame plans to do with its secondary moving forward. And I don't know that we have to see the vision for it right now. I think if one coach on Notre Dame's staff right now deserves the benefit of the doubt, I think it's Mike Mickens with what he does in the secondary. So what do you think this means about Notre Dame's current roster and its vision for how these guys fit in, and its vision for what it currently has at Notre Dame?
Well, I think they feel like they have nickels on the roster. I guess they could go get another guy. I don't anticipate that. I think they feel like they have nickels in the roster. They feel like Dallas Golden, with no preparation whatsoever, I mean, a week's preparation, basically, when he made his first start, performed well enough that they feel, and he's a really elite athlete, that they feel like this is a guy that could continue to develop that, or he could be, you know, you could have him as Leonard Moore's understudy for when Leonard Moore goes likely to the draft after the 26 season. Great boundary presence. And then you have Nick Reddish, who's coming in the door, who's a safety, who I think they're going to project as a nickel. I think he's a longer-term project. He's not somebody you want to unleash there next year. And so who else on the roster makes sense? I think Mike Mickens is going to surprise us. I think there's going to be somebody that ends up in that mix that we're not expecting. And I also think he's open to moving his established guys around if he needs to, like they did in the USC game, because it worked.
Yeah, I wanted to throw this question in from Jeff. And the settings here are much, much more grand for you guys that submit questions, much bigger, I feel like, than they have been in the past. Jeff says, given Notre Dame taking two cornerbacks in the portal, what do you see the role being for Christian Gray going forward?
Christian Gray's an interesting question, and I think if somebody moves around, it might be him. The thing about it was, you know, he had great moments as a field cornerback. It felt like to me when Leonard Moore was injured and Christian was playing in the boundary, he was more comfortable there. Maybe he would be more comfortable as a nickel. I think there's going to be some experimentation in the spring, maybe just to see how do you bring out the best in Christian Gray. And it may very well be just at the field corner where he is. But I think we'll see. And well, we probably won't see. It'll be in the days where we're not allowed in that they'll be doing the experimentation. But I do think that, you know, Christian Gray would be open to being more of a versatile player. So I don't think that there is a hard template. I think it's laboratory time in the spring.
Yeah, and we don't necessarily think that this means Christian Gray is going to the NFL draft, like Notre Dame's preparing for that to happen. And
the deadline is Wednesday for that, by the way.
Thank you. And I don't know that I like the idea of Gray at nickel. Maybe I would be pleasantly surprised by that. I like the idea of bringing competition in and making him not necessarily feel comfortable, I think that maybe that gets something out of him. It seemed like especially if you watch the Here Come the Irish show,
yeah,
the UFC.
I watch it just to watch my interviews about the drum circle.
the USC game that was when it was featured in, and the way they showed the interactions between him and Marcus Freeman, like he was motivated by Marcus Freeman, basically saying, "Hey, if you can't make plays, we'll sit you." And right. Then he made sure Marcus Freeman knew that, "Hey, you don't sit me." After he got that interception against USC, so I'm interested to see how it plays out. I think there could be a benefit for playing Gray and McKinney in a rotation of some sort. And keeping guys more fresh, and you're not having to worry about that. And obviously it helps you with injury protection too. That if someone gets hurt, you're not having to throw in a freshman right away. Although Mike Mickens has been known to get those guys ready pretty quickly. So I think there is a lot of intriguing options that can come from that.
And you think about, I mean, walking in the door today, Kari Adams, Chas Smith, and Aiden Pouncey. I can't remember a cornerback room. I mean, I'm trying to remember who was around Todd Light at that time. And I know they were pretty talented in the defensive backfield, but I don't know that they were this deep in talent. They were talented at the top of that depth chart, but I'm not sure that they were this deep talented. I can't remember.
All right. Before we hop into some more questions, just to put a bow on the four commitments that Notre Dame got today, I wanted to power rank these guys in terms of who we think is the most important for Notre Dame. So you want to give your list from 4 to 1, Eric?
Okay. So 4 being the least important and 1 being the most important. I went with Jaden Sanders as number 4 because I think he is a building piece. I do not feel like he's a potential starter this year, but I think he's a really talented kid. How about you at 4?
I went with Keon Keeley. I'm not sure what to make of the cornerbacks and how that all's going to play out. So I wanted to have Sanders and McKinney sort of touching each other in the rankings, if that makes sense, because if the opposite happened, I don't know that I would be terribly surprised. So I went with Keon Keeley at number 4.
Okay. At number 3, I have them touching each other and I went with McKinney here.
Okay.
And again, some of it is not necessarily is Keeley the better player, but you have the best cornerback in college football. And then you have a guy that the NFL likes enough that if he went in this draft, he'd be a second or third round pick. Mm-hmm. And so McKinney doesn't have to be good. If he's better than Christian Gray, then I underrated him, but it's some of this is based on maybe need. So that's why I went with him at 3.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I probably undervalued need in putting this together. I have Sanders at 3, Jaden Sanders, that is, the Michigan transfer. And then I have JD McKinney at 2. What's your number 2?
I have Keon Keeley at number 2, in part because of the need and part of what he can turn into. And if he doesn't turn into that, if he's just the guy he was last year, it's not the end of the world given what else is on Notre Dame's roster. But I'm just excited about, I just have a feeling he's going to be maybe not the 5-star guy that we envisioned, but a pretty good version of himself next year.
Yeah. And then at number 1, we both have Quincy Porter. That speaks to how important that was, and the belief in the potential that he has. So I think we're both pretty interested to see what he can do in Notre Dame's offense.
Right. And the good thing about it is he'll be pushed. You know, last year there was a bigger gap between Malachi Fields and those young boundary receivers. I think those guys are going to close the gap on whoever the boundary receiver. I think they're going to be better competition. And I think that will help bring Quincy along as well, push him towards his potential.
All right, let's hop into some questions. Jeff, another question from Jeff. If Notre Dame were interested in a transfer from IU or Miami, could that player enroll right away for spring semester, or would they have to wait until summer to enroll?
Okay, so the national championship game is on the 19th.
Yes.
And so that would be a week from tonight, and then there's a five-day portal period. You know, I think Notre Dame is pretty comfortable with people coming the first week of classes. As you get into the second week, I think it's gets into that bad part of your tachometer that you're never supposed to get to. I think that that may be a no-go. But again, there's been things that have gone on with admission so far this year that I didn't envision. So, but I think it would be much less likely, nor do I think Notre Dame is looking at anybody at those two schools, but you know, somebody I guess could surprise us.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the 20th is the date for adding, the final date for adding and dropping classes for Notre Dame in terms of the semester. I don't know how strict that date is in terms of if there would be leeway for additions. It would seem,
man, at Ohio State, it was way into the term before you.
Maybe it's not just that drop. Maybe it's changes. So maybe I have the terminology wrong there. But I my understanding was that was when you needed to be in class. But
I know when I talked to, and I'm sorry, I'll let you finish here.
No, you're good.
But when Blake Groupie was not here on the first day of class, when he came from Arkansas State, graduate student, and I think he was in non-degree seeking, he wasn't in a master's program. But I remember him talking about, I just kind of made it in. You know, he was toward the end of that week, and he didn't have a lot of wiggle room beyond when he came. I know that was his perception at that time.
Yeah, it would be hard for like the turnaround of, they end the game, then they're in the portal. I think they would probably have to be already in the portal. I don't even know. I think it would be very complicated for that to work out, but we'll see. It doesn't prevent Notre Dame from recruiting guys from those teams that enter the portal and bringing them in the summer, but the spring semester addition would seem to be pretty difficult.
And Notre Dame isn't scared about bringing guys coming in. They had two of them last year in Malachi Fields and Ty Washington. They've had them before in Bo Collins and the kid from Northwestern, whose name always escapes me. Rod Hurd the second.
Rajon said, Eric, did you see the turkey leg in the Derrick Henry commercial? You could play Henry the Eighth.
Oh, as soon as the show is over, I'm looking for that.
I don't know that I saw that one either, so I'm going to have to check it out. Well,
I'll tell you, the turkey leg mania is growing.
Everyone wants a turkey leg. Justin K said, what does this say about the staff's assessment of Cam Williams and or Micah Gilbert? And I believe that was in reference to the Quincy Porter edition.
Yeah, I think that they feel really good about it. You're in an era where you have 95 guys on scholarship instead of 85, and Notre Dame could conceivably go up to 105, and you don't have a spring portal to help you if there's a major injury. So you want to build depth. Players know that there's depth. And yeah, I think they feel like, I know for sure that Notre Dame likes both of those guys and thinks they both have bright futures. But the thing is, you've got to improve your roster, and Notre Dame has a chance in 2026 to build a roster that would get them to the championship game and maybe even win one. And I think you got to go all in on this roster this year.
Yeah. Yeah. It just says that, hey, we're not 100% certain that if we go into the season with these two guys, that they are good enough to help us win a national championship. That doesn't mean they can't help them or even beat out someone like Quincy Porter. But you're, all of your roster decisions come with a certain amount of risk and uncertainty. And I feel like there's less risk of bringing in someone that with a talent level of Quincy Porter than to not add someone at the boundary wide receiver position. Scott Vegan says, do all the new portal arrivals make the two deep? I would think so.
You go first on that. I'm sorry. I had to answer a message.
No, you're fine. I think so. It sort of depends, especially the cornerbacks that we talked about, like where do they fit? Is Jaden McKinney behind Christian Gray and battling, or in front of him and they're battling? And is Jaden Sanders with Leonard Moore? Can they beat out like a Mark Zachary, for instance, who was sort of the third cornerback at the end of the season for Notre Dame? One of them could potentially be the backup nickel or starting nickel. We'll see how that happens. So I would think all four of them will be part of the two deep. But we'll have to see how things pan out in the spring.
Yeah, Sanders is the only one that I'm not sure about. But again, that's a guy with a lot of eligibility left still in front of him. 3 years he played in way past the 4-game minimum. But again, these guys can, even if they're not in the two deeps, they can help you on special teams, and we know how important that is to Notre Dame.
All right. Smoking Scott says, how many freshmen from the recruiting class will enroll early?
So there are 29 players in the recruiting class, and 25 of them started classes on Monday. So there's four that did not. And those four, there's two offensive linemen. I wrote about this. I wrote a story about the early enrollees. This is the most they've ever had by 10. Early enrollees. The four that aren't are Gregory Patrick, who's an offensive lineman, Ben Nichols, an offensive lineman, Teddy Girard, he's the reclassified quarterback. He's 18 years old. He'll be 18 when he gets here in June, I should say. And then there's the really good tight end, Ian Premmer, who I think will be part of things in the fall. Part of the rotation in the fall at tight end. So just those four are not early enrollees.
Yeah, it's a big crop of freshmen that have joined and started classes today. So it's not will enroll early. They have enrolled early. They're already rolling. So Notre Dame's got a lot of new bodies on campus getting ready for the spring semester. All right, let's talk a little bit about what is left for Notre Dame. I figured we could start first with this question from Marcel. Do they have their eyes on a kicker?
I know they've had their eyes on a kicker. I don't know how close that is to being a reality, but that was something that they were looking at in the portal. But I'm not sure exactly where that stands right now.
Yeah, I don't know who, but I do think there will be someone. Just not clear how that's going to play out, but I do think Notre Dame is working through that, but I'm not sure the where they're at in the process with that, I guess would be the best way to say that. JPM 6002, do you guys anticipate any more adds, especially on the defensive line?
I do. I do think there will be one on the defensive line. And there may be two technically, because Jason Anye's position for a sixth year has not been ruled upon yet. He is in class and he is proceeding as if he's going to be on the team. And I do think that we'll hear something fairly soon, sooner than later. Let me put it this way. You never want to put a timeline on the NCAA because they're weird or predict what they're going to do. But here's what I would say. I would think that we'll know something fairly soon, and I feel good about it. But again, the NCAA has a track record of doing really weird things, so who knows?
Yeah, unpredictability rules above all when it comes to the NCAA. Yeah, I think Notre Dame will get more ads. How many exactly, I'm not certain of. I would say these are the four names that we're sort of still monitoring, and I should mention, while we were alive, the pair of Alabama defensive linemen who Notre Dame hosted last week have committed to Ohio State. That's defensive tackle James Smith and edge rusher Kwa Rasa. I did not get a pronunciation guide on that, so I probably butchered it. And the four other names that we've reported as names to know so far have been Ohio State wide receiver Mylon Graham, Pitt defensive tackle Francis Brew, Michigan State defensive end Jalen Thompson, and Utah nickelback Smith Snowden. Feel better about the top two of those, the first two of those I mentioned after the Alabama guys, so Mylon Graham and Francis Brew. I think those are the two names we're monitoring most closely right now. But I think there could still be plenty more developments potentially, maybe not in terms of this spring or this winter semester, spring semester. But I think there could be some other options that Notre Dame is sorting out that there maybe aren't in a hurry, because I think it's important to mention for folks, people talk about the portal closing. That only closes people who are going in. That doesn't mean that you can't, that right. If you don't have a school by the, if you haven't committed to a school by the end of the portal closing, that you're stuck at your old school, you still can transfer later. And so there could be some additions that Notre Dame makes moving forward too. So, but I think Graham and Brew are the two names that we're watching most closely. And Brew is a defensive tackle from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and it's weird because I want his last name to be Bruin. I hope it is, because I looked at the pronunciation guide at Pitt and it said Brew-woo. And I thought, seriously, that sounds like a satire. But so if it's Brew, I'm really happy about that. And a kicker could be somebody that you could add for June, because, I mean, does the kicker really need to be here in the spring? Hey, Come to South Bend in March when it snows, where you have to kick inside. You might as well just stay wherever you are and kick there and then come join us in June when it's nice weather.
Yeah, I believe Jack Sobel talked to someone that knows that it's just Brew, but I don't know who he spoke to, but he felt pretty confident that it's Brew and not Brew Woo.
If you look at their pronunciation guide in their game notes, that's what it says.
Yeah.
They're just testing us to see if we would go along with it and say it like that.
Some pronunciation guides are great, and I think some don't know how to say what they mean. So I think it's not necessarily a foolproof, but we appreciate when they provide them, because sometimes we don't even know where to start in terms of pronouncing some of the names.
The one that was at Notre Dame that everybody got wrong, because Kurt Heinisch got it wrong, was Adamolola.
Yeah, that one was always strange.
Adamiola. And I even had Jason talk into my, and I said, say your last name. He said, Adamolola. I said, thank you.
We haven't talked about Graham or Brew much in terms of details. Let's start with Brew. What do you think of Brew as a player?
I love him. I think it's Jared Dawson 2.0 with more eligibility. They're about the same size. They're 6'1", 280-ish. I think Dawson was a little bit closer to 290. A lot of quickness. He was Pitt's most productive defensive tackle, played a lot of snaps. He played 130 more than anybody on Notre Dame's interior defensive line last year. His PFF grade was right between Dawson and Anya, which were Notre Dame's two highest rated interior guys, and they had pretty good grades. He grades really well in the run game, grades really well in terms of pressuring the passer. I just like him. And the fact that Charlie Partridge, I knew I was going to do that. There's a kid on the Partridge family named Chris Partridge. So my apologies. At least I didn't call him Laurie Partridge.
There was I'm not sure where he's at now, but there was a college football coach with the name Chris Partridge too. So I've done that as well. And I don't know Chris Partridge from the Partridge
family. Well, it's not as bad as Cody Bahoon, but Charlie Partridge recruited him. I think I've seen some reports erroneously that he coached him last year. He didn't, or coached him while he was at Pitt. He didn't. Charlie's been with the Colts the last 2 years, but there was a relationship with Charlie Partridge. And see, that's kind of the thing that nobody's thinking about. I mean, the way that we think about these interior defensive linemen and how they'll line up, Charlie may have his own ideas.
right,
without reading Blue and Gold first. So, and the other publications, but maybe he should think about it.
Yeah, he's new. Give him time, and then we'll get him starting to read Blue and Gold before he makes any decisions. One thing I wanted to add, Brew has been on Bruce Feldman's freaks list for his strength and athleticism. Last offseason, he tested in the squat at 685 pounds, bench press at 475 pounds, and he had a vertical jump of 33 inches. So those are some pretty crazy numbers. And you can sort of see that in his game, too, when you watch his tape. He very heavy-handed, likes to throw guys around and use that strength that he has in his body. He has a great get-off. You can sort of see that explosiveness that he has. So he certainly has plenty of room for improvement, but showed some social things. And even if you just, like, go back and rewatch the Notre Dame-Pitt game, you can see him giving Joe Otting some trouble, giving Kirby Lambert some trouble at times in that game, because he can be a tough defensive lineman to try to move out of the way.
He had three tackles, I believe a tackle for loss in that 37-15 Pitt loss, but really good player, really consistent.
And then what do you think of Mylon Graham?
I really like him too. Initially, it felt like the Mylon Graham thing might happen before Quincy Porter. And you kind of wondered, well, could they plug him into the boundary? He's a little bit more wiry. He's not as tall. I talked to Tom Lemming about him. Tom feels like he could play any of those positions. He was slotted behind Carnell Tate at Ohio State, but I mean, the second stringers didn't play a whole lot on that team. But when he did get in, you know, he had some production. I like him. I mean, he's really good friends with Tate Johnson. They're both from Fort Wayne. Was really highly thought of. He was in the same class. He's a year older than Quincy. He's in the same class as Tay Johnson, as well as Cam Williams and Micah Gilbert. He was ranked higher than Cam Williams, which Cam Williams was pretty well thought of. So if Notre Dame added him, I would imagine he would go over to the field side and fortify that group over there. You'd maybe take the place of KK Smith. So I think that would be pretty exciting. I mean, there's a lot to like about him.
Yeah, he's a interesting athlete. I remember seeing him I don't remember if it was Irish Invasion or a different Notre Dame camp, but at a Notre Dame summer camp. And didn't know who he was, but I was like, who is that guy with the purple gloves? Because he's got some talent. It turned out that was a young Mylon Graham. I actually created his rivals profile, I realized, when doing some research about him again as his name resurfaced. He is someone that never felt like Notre Dame was going to get out of high school. But for Notre Dame to be here trying to get him out of Ohio State speaks to the talent that he has. I think it's fascinating to see how Notre Dame is continuing to be aggressive in the transfer portal, even though we spent a lot of time maybe last week talking about them being slow to the punch and maybe not being aggressive, that they're being aggressive in the types of players they're going after and not just simply filling holes with all grad transfers and relying on some older guys, which has worked for Notre Dame and can work and certainly working for Indiana right now. I'm interested to see what happens as Notre Dame continues to try to fill out this portal class.
Right. I'm trying to remember if any of these guys were in the portal on January 2nd or known to be in the portal on January 2nd, but certainly Quincy Porter wasn't. He was a late addition, and that's kind of been Notre Dame's strategy. They don't want people poaching guys that have, you know, that they think they have an interest in or that they even have a commitment from. They played it very smart and made sure that these guys were signed and then school had started. So it makes it pretty tough to poach unless you come and grab them and take them in your car and take them away.
Nick Dean says, can Keeley put on 20 pounds and become a defensive tackle?
I would imagine he can play inside. I don't think that that's what he fashions himself as. And Notre Dame kind of had a little bit of that, I don't want to say struggle, but that discussion with Christopher Burgess Jr. And I think Christopher is bought into that now, that he could be an absolute difference maker and a star inside. And I think that's what he's going to start working toward this spring, rather than being a big edge player. So, I mean, maybe if things don't work out to where Keon thinks that they could and should after this year, maybe he would think about moving inside. Bryce Young still has another year. You have those two young freshman edge players that are going to be putting on weight too, presumably. They're going to be hard to keep down on the depth chart. Ebenezer Iwatade, did I say that right?
That's correct.
And then Rodney Durham, that was easy.
No, Eric, it's Dunham. You were so close.
Dunham, okay. I get Iwatade right, and I blow Durham.
You were doing your touchdown dance too early.
I was doing my touchdown dance too early. And there are some other intriguing guys on the roster too. I mean, Logan Thomas, if the guy can ever put weight on, it's
– yeah.
He's got unbelievable get-off on the line of scrimmage. It's just he needs to find a meal plan that will put on the weight without, you know, and it being good weight.
Yeah, I don't see defensive tackle being Keeley's best option. I'd rather him try to lose 20 pounds and get back to a more explosive version of himself than to try to add 20 pounds. I just don't see him as like a powerful player right now. And maybe if he adds 20 pounds of muscle, he becomes a powerful player. But I think the path that fits him best right now, and I think maybe long-term, is to stay at defensive end. So I wouldn't say it's impossible. It would be impossible for him to do that. I'm just not sure that that's what's best for him. And we'll see what he looks like in the spring and how he continues to shape his body for what Notre Dame needs and what is best for him.
And I'll say this, Tyler, going back to the interior guys, I like Brew better than I like Eric Mateen. Say the last name for me from late.
Yeah. Irigbona, I'm not really sure that I have that one down.
Anyway, Dunham, Durham. I like Brew as a pickup better than that. I think a lot of the people that fans were wringing their hands over Notre Dame not getting, I think they're getting better quality players at this stage of the portal.
All right. I think we've covered needs already. Let's give a grade real quick, and then we'll get into some other news and notes before we get out of here. How would you grade Notre Dame's results so far in the transfer portal?
I would give them an A. I think they had a smart strategy. I buy into their strategy. And I'd also send a note home and say, okay, you got homework to do. You're not done. You got an A today, but that A has an expiration date because you need to add a couple more. And if they are able to do that, get their homework turned in on time, then I'd say this is going to stay an A. How about you? What would you give them?
I went with a B. They get docked for, one, not necessarily feeling the need for defensive tackle yet. And even if they do get Francis Brew, I'm still not sure that was enough at the defensive tackle. Even if they get Jason Onye back, I'm not sure. I think I would bump it up to a B plus and maybe an A minus, but I think that was the most obvious need for Notre Dame going into this cycle. And if they only get one guy, I know they have retained Armel Mukum after he initially went into the portal, and there's a chance of bringing in Onye, but I would have liked Notre Dame to get two defensive tackles. That would be the one thing that I would push back on right now.
So you're feeling like they need more quantity or quality than quantity, because they have tons of bodies at those positions, but there's a lot of unproven. I think if Onye didn't come back, Elijah Hughes would be the only one of the returnees that played more than 70 snaps last year. So that's probably your concern is proven production.
Yeah. So Francis Brew, who is will be going into his junior season, he has more experience than Elijah Hughes or Jason Onye already in terms of the amount he's played. So that speaks to, the lack of experience. I just think they do have a lot of bodies there. Certainly, I'm not sure that they're quality and they need quality. I think they can get by without adding two, but I think that would have pushed them higher into the A range for me if they were to get to. All right, let's get to some of the other news and notes. I guess the first one was a story that wasn't really a story in Marcus Freeman being accused of battery, but the St. Joseph County Prosecutor's Office announced Monday that it would not be charges would not be filed as no criminal battery occurred after reviewing the video evidence and speaking to many people who were at the Al Smith Invitational, a wrestling meet at Mishawaka High School that occurred last weekend. And there was a dust up of sorts, although we've even seen the video now that's been released that you don't really, I watched it 10 times and I was like, okay, what is being accused of happening and where is it happening? Because it didn't look nearly as bad as someone would be alleging battery. But I guess Eric, I'll open the floor to you. Did I miss any details that we should include? And what were your thoughts on all of this?
It's hard for me I need to really restrain myself here. I'm not sure that I even saw dust in the video. You know, my youngest son was a pretty good wrestler and wrestled in that same wrestling meet. And you still have connections to a lot of those, that community, even after all this time. I'm 100 years old, which would make my youngest son 80. But anyways, I got a lot of texts and phone calls about the accuser, and I haven't vetted all those. But to me, there were some things that I knew behind the scenes, and I think the quicker this goes away, the better it is for the guy that was the accuser. Not that any bodily harm or anything like that. I just think there's details about him that would come out that wouldn't be flattering. And I think if Marcus actually did something, he needed to be held accountable. But he didn't. He was being a good dad, and Joanna was being a good mom. And sometimes people, when you're in the spotlight, they want to attack you and bring you down. And we all know Marcus's character, and we know how he conducts himself. And I had, you know, heard about this again, and what a big nothing burger. And then when I honestly believe that the guy that did the accusing didn't realize Bishop Waka had this much video cameras of footage, or else they wouldn't have tried to bring charges, because that makes them look really silly. I'll stop there because I don't want to get myself in trouble.
Yeah. And it's an assistant coach at one of the other local schools. I think it's kind of incredible how quickly like this is come and gone. Like it was a story and then not a story so fast after the police report gets released through the South Bend Tribune on Sunday. And then by Monday morning, the prosecutor's office, I think it was still the morning, released their version of events because it was such a public story. And then and videos come out today as well. And Notre Dame had released a statement, and they seem to have been proven correct pretty quickly. Their statement on Sunday said, Vinny Freeman, head coach Marcus Freeman's son, was verbally accosted during and after his wrestling match by a local wrestling coach. Marcus and Joanna Freeman intervened and removed Vinny from the situation. At no point did Coach Freeman physically engage with anyone. We believe that the police report, which includes video evidence, fully exonerates Coach Freeman and makes clear these accusations are totally unfounded. And I would agree with that based off the video that was released today, because you can't even see who is what. And like, you see Marcus Freeman walk through a door and it's like, okay, that was it. Like, I was like, am I not looking at the right people? Where am I looking in the wrong place?
Exactly.
It was like the worst game of Where's Waldo I've ever played. I didn't know what I was looking at, what I was supposed to be looking at, because I thought I gotta be missing something, but sure enough, it wasn't. All right. We talked about Armel Mucombe. I guess, what do you think?
Didn't we talk about him? Yeah, he made a U-turn in the portal.
We mentioned him in terms of when I was talking about Notre Dame meeting two defensive tackles. Do you think he's someone that can contribute this season?
Possibly. I mean, there have been times where he's had good weeks of practice where they felt like, okay, maybe he's on the verge of contributing. I mean, at least he knows the system. He's experienced. He's got some position flexibility. I mean, I think it was good for Notre Dame for him to come back. He's more proven than a lot of the other guys on the roster at either of those spots. And again, position flexibility. I like the fact that Armel is back.
Yeah, I think it's good. I think there is potential there. Like, I know it. People who followed recruiting wouldn't think this was something that would be the case, but I'm more interested in what he could potentially do than, say, what Brendan Vernon can potentially do for Notre Dame going into next season. So we'll see what kind of role he can carve out. And then just to hit a little recruiting, I guess, I don't know if it counts as recruiting anymore because they're now students at Notre Dame as of today. The early enrollees that we mentioned, I'm curious, is there a handful of guys that you think have a chance to make an early push for playing time this coming spring?
You know, when you look at how loaded the roster is, you would kind of push yourself toward no. And you think last year there were only four players that played enough games to lose their redshirt possibility. But I talked to a source that said, I think a lot of these guys are going to end up playing, not as starters, but playing. And so I think we can go through, if you want, and talk about the ones we think have the most likely opportunities. Now, one of the people that we're going to name, well, actually two of them, aren't on campus yet.
Yeah. I would just focus on the guys that are on campus. The first, I don't know. Who I would say the most likely is. I think someone that's maybe interesting to me because of it's a wide open position. Obviously, there's a number of talented running backs in the room. I really like Javion Osborne. Every time I watch his film, it's like, man, that kid, he looks pretty special to me. I know it's not easy to play right away as a running back, but I think he's someone that jumps out to me. I think Joey O'Brien is someone who's incredibly talented. The safety position is very talented as well. So I don't know what his role could look like, but in terms of maybe the most talented guys, he's got to be on the list there. And then I guess it depends on how the transfer portal works out in terms of can someone like Caden Finley get into the rotation as a freshman wide receiver? I think he's probably the most college ready among Notre Dame's freshman wide receivers. So those are the guys that stand out. And then I think you have to mention the defensive ends, Rodney Dunham and Ebenezer Iwatade. Dunham, who is, in my opinion, more college ready than Iwatade.
For me, if I look at the defense, you look at those defensive backs, the safeties and the corners, and you go, wow. And then you look at what Notre Dame has coming back and you go, wow. And yeah. So, you know, O'Brien, Kari Adams, you know, maybe they'll find a package to fit one of those guys in because they're super talented. Aiden Pouncey, maybe he'll return punts or something. And then flipping over to the offensive side, again, we mentioned Premer. He's not coming right away. Love both of the running backs. And if Notre Dame didn't love them, they would have probably gone out and got a portal guy. It didn't seem – and I guess they still could, but – I don't think that was a cost-effective move that they could have made. I agree with you on Kadon Finley in terms of the 5 wide receivers that are coming in as freshmen, that have come in as freshmen. Noah Grubbs is going to get some snaps as the number 2 quarterback this spring. And when Teddy Girard gets here in June, I think he's going to make a run at being number 2 next year.
All right. Well, I think that'll do it for us on today's Football Never Sleeps. We appreciate it. Another big crowd. I don't know. We might, maybe a record setting crowd. We keep pushing the numbers higher and higher in terms of live audience. And we really appreciate that. Thank everyone for tuning in, checking out the show. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel. We're here usually every Monday night throughout the off season. That's why Football Never Sleeps. Make sure you check out blueandgold.com. We'll have more information, way more information than we discussed tonight in terms of the guys that Notre Dame has already added and the guys that they're continuing to try to add. A lot of inside information that you can't get anywhere else. blueandgold.com, 50% off for an annual subscription. If you haven't subscribed before, check that out. There's a link in the description to the video, and there's also just a join now button on the homepage. So you can sign up at blueandgold.com, and we appreciate once again, everyone joining us. Hit that like button, smash it, as TD4ND said, and we will see you guys next week.